welcome to Toss Salads and Scrambled Eggs, Frasier Podcast. I'm Dave.
I'm Diana.
And today we're talking about episode 107, Call Me Irresponsible.
Well, you're asking for it.
I pretty much am. Yeah. You did.
Yep.
It happened.
I did it.
You did it.
I went there.
So, I'm going to jump right in today to the episode.
Where it takes place in a pool.
We're gonna jump right
Niles
into the pool.
Wears his little, like, floaties.
His water wings.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. His 20s body suit.
Yeah, his, yeah.
Striped.
Oh, yes. Frasier, like, thinks it's a good idea to wear that Speedo.
It's not a good idea.
And it's irresponsible. And then, of course, like, it floats away, and you see that part, and it's like, ugh.
Oh. We should explain, that was one of the deleted scenes on the DVD.
Sorry, yeah.
Well, if you're watching this on Netflix, or just what was on TV, you probably didn't see this part at the beginning.
If you have the exclusive director's cut, then you've probably seen this scene. You know what we're talking about.
You know. It's a collector's edition.
Yes. Criterion Collection.
Yeah. If you don't have that, you have the episode most people have seen, though.
That starts in the studio.
Again. Starting in the
studio. Shocking. It's 4:25.
It is. And start off, first caller is Hank.
Frasier seems a little upset today.
Yeah, because Hank, I don't think Hank's the first, but it doesn't sound like he's the first anyway, but Hank hasn't turned off his radio. He can't hear himself, you know, he can't hear Frasier.
Because he's listening to himself on the radio, and
right.
There's a delay.
Right, yeah.
There's a 7-second delay.
7-second delay, which is pretty long delay, but, you know, I've heard worse. Hank gets hung up on, and then we get Marco.
Marco.
The dreaded Marco.
I've seen the future, and its name is Marco.
Yep, it's, yeah, Marco, he's not sure about his girlfriend. He's only staying with her until something better comes along, right?
Which is probably cookie butter.
Cookie butter is pretty good. It's hard for anything better than cookie butter to come along. Except maybe a cookie butter Nutella mix.
Maybe.
So,
the ultimate cookie butter experience.
Speculoos. Oh, that's the Trader Joe's one. So, Trader Joe's,
I think,
or
that's the name of the cookies, isn't it?
Is it? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But, no, what's the other one? What's the one, the first one we got? What's that? The cookie butter.
Biscoff.
Biscoff, if you're listening, hook up with the Nutella people.
Or just hook up with us, because we love your stuff.
Or that, yes. Biscoff, if you're listening and you are looking for a sponsor,
Not a sponsor, we'll just do a review.
Well, yeah, or that, any of that.
And we're not going to say how we feel about it either way until we hear from you.
Right. I definitely wasn't earlier saying how good cookie butter is. I've heard things.
I've never had it. I don't even know what it is.
I just
made that up. I didn't know it was a real thing.
It is. So, you know, if you want us to try it out and send us a lifetime supply,
feel free. Want us to try it out for a lifetime?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
you can be a guest on our show.
Yes. Biscoff, your entire company can be a guest on our show. We'll have to probably rent out a hall somewhere.
What are you talking about? This room is big.
It is pretty big.
It's pretty big it's an entire bus.
It is a whole bus.
Even though we have a lot of people on unicycles in here now. At least 25. It is getting insane in here.
It is getting insane.
The circus is in town.
Is it your family?
Yeah, my family is visiting from out of town. It's getting a little crowded.
Folks, if you're listening to us for the first time, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, if you...
I'm not sorry. Thanks. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to the previous episodes. Or not.
Just
stay
run
us.
With it. Just run with it.
Just go with it.
Just run with it.
And I've seen the future, and its name is Marco.
Yeah. Is that Roz's line?
That is Roz's line. Yeah. Because Marco is a jerk.
Yep.
And no one is dating anyone because the world is just full of Marcos.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to
stay with anyone.
No one wants to do anything. So.
And we also found out Roz has a sister. She says,
oh, yeah.
My sister is not dating anyone.
It's the first time we've heard of Roz's sister. That's right. But yeah, so Marco, Frasier tells Marco he needs to break it off with his girlfriend because if he can't commit and he's only sticking around to find something better, then...
I think it's the ethical choice.
I think so, too. I think that is the correct advice
at
that point in the episode.
Now, let's get into the second scene.
Second scene. 'Twas 2 months before Christmas.
My favorite time.
Indeed. You
it's
know,
a good time of year.
I feel like this is the second episode in a row we've referenced that poem. Because I was talking about it in the last one, but I just couldn't remember how it goes.
This is the flashback episode. Yes. This is that episode of Friends where they do the clip show.
Yeah, it's the clip show. We're just... 7 episodes in. It's the right time for a clip show. So this is what's happening. It's not. So Daphne and Martin are preparing to take pictures for a Christmas card.
Which I love. This, it doesn't seem like Daphne's been there very long, but she's already being included in the family Christmas card.
Right. So here's the thing. Interesting thing about... Oh, sorry. What,
I was going to say, like, Niles isn't there.
But that is interesting. Niles isn't there.
It's Frasier,
mm-hmm.
Daphne, Martin.
Yes.
And Eddie.
And Eddie, eventually, yes. So I think... So here's the thing I thought was kind of funny about that. I agree with what you're saying, that it's interesting that Daphne is so much, like, already being considered part of the family that she's in the Christmas card, but she's talking about how they're going to be more artistic this year, and, like, all these things that make it seem like she's been part of...
No. She is referencing what Martin said about their Christmas card.
Right, no,
which was Frasier and Niles sitting on the old Packard.
Right, no, I do get that. But it's just something about the way she words
to me. She's definitely a reference. I'm shutting you down. Everything you're saying
I'm just
is not
telling
valid.
You how it
no,
felt
you're being irresponsible.
To me, how it felt.
Well, I don't care how you felt because it's still wrong.
Okay, so we're having a podcast where we discuss how we feel about a show,
no,
but you don't actually want to hear
it. It's not a discussion because you're just plain wrong.
Just straight up facts.
Okay, Empire Records. Did he know that the brownies were pop brownies?
It's hard for me to say because I didn't realize for most of my life that they were pop brownies. I didn't understand what was going on in that scene.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know what pop brownies are.
Right, so
you're just like, wow, Mark is goofy.
Yeah.
And also, I think he was having the correct reaction to watching Gwar.
I would be terrified watching Gwar videos without eating a pop brownie. So.
Yeah, and I also would imagine being eaten by the Gwar people.
Right.
But also being on stage with them, because how awesome would it be to be in Gwar?
It would be pretty awesome. So Gwar, if you're listening, and you
we
need
are
someone
available.
To join you, we're available.
And we're going to give you some Biscoff spread. Because we have a lifetime supply, hopefully.
Hopefully, by the time you hear this, we will have gotten our
insert
lifetime supply.
Ringtone noise. That's the call from Biscoff. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. That's what my ringtone sounds like. It's really annoying.
I'm actually going to edit out that sound later and make it my ringtone. Just you saying what you just said.
You're not going to do that.
I'm going to do that.
Okay, I really like the beginning of the scene where they talk about Frasier's napping.
Mm-hmm.
And Daphne tells a story about a grandfather who is always napping.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because she always says such delight. I'm not gonna say what the story is, but it's so delightful to hear her weird, like, whimsical family anecdotes.
Yep.
But also, I like the theme for this year's card is Santa's Workshop.
Which, again, implies that this year's theme, as opposed to all of the other year's themes.
She could have heard about it. They lived too freaking together. I don't know if that sentence made zero sense.
No, I just mean there basically hasn't been a theme before. So, like, it's not just So it should be like,
just this add year, some extra words in that sentence.
We're gonna have a theme.
Yeah.
And the theme is,
I think our theme this year is going to be Santa's Workshop for our TGFRK Christmas card.
Yes. If you're listening and you're subscribed, just know that we have a Christmas card.
We have a Christmas card? All right.
Yeah, we're going to have a Christmas card.
You better put that down on a to-do list to make a Christmas card.
Okay.
I was thinking about how when they're setting up the camera, it's not a digital camera, obviously, because they did not... they wouldn't have had digital cameras then.
I think there were some in existence. They were not, like, commercially available things that people
had.
They were
definitely not commercially available.
Like, I think there were some professional things that could take a digital photo.
I mean, they
could
have taken a Polaroid. Not very good for your Christmas card.
No, that would not.
So, they have zero idea if it looks good. So you have to take like 30 different shots and just use an entire roll of film on this.
Yes, of course. Yeah, no, I hadn't thought of that. But yeah, you're right. They clearly had to take a whole bunch of photos of themselves. And also, I like when they're getting into the mood by singing Deck the Halls. Mm-hmm. Daphne and Martin singing Deck the Halls. They've got the whole room decorated. And they were talking about how... You know, Daphne's talking about how they need to do it a couple of months ahead of time, so they've got plenty of time to make
October
the cards
21st.
And everything. And, like, Frasier walks out while they're singing. It's just like...
Excuse me. Exactly how long have I been asleep?
I know, it's so perfect.
It's a great scene.
It's really, really great. That would be very confusing and jarring.
Well, because have you ever had one of those naps where you wake up and you're not sure what day it is?
Yeah, you wake up because you went to sleep in the afternoon, but then suddenly it's dark. This happens during a winter nap.
Yeah.
And you're like, is it 5 in the morning?
Right.
What time is it?
Yeah.
I have zero idea.
Yeah, I've definitely woken up on my couch before at 5 o'clock in, like, the autumn and been like... You can see how much light there is outside, but it's like, is that twilight or is that just before dawn light? I don't know which 5 o'clock it is right now. I can't tell how long
I've been
asleep.
I almost slept to another work day.
Basically.
I have been knocked out. Like, I was hit by a troll. I got a curse, a magical curse. It's been an entire year.
It's been a year.
I don't know how I'm still alive. I think
they call that a coma.
Well, no, a prince comes, or a princess, or whatever, a frog, or, you know, whatever. Whatever you like, a Shrek, a donkey.
You know, now that I think about it, it's interesting. They always had these, like, old stories about people being asleep for, like, years and years, and it's like... In those stories, it was just like a magical sleep, but really, they were just in a coma.
Yeah, because I can think of several.
Yeah.
Like Snow White,
mm-hmm.
Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
Rip Van Winkle.
You got it. Yeah, that's correct.
Whatever his name.
Yeah.
Old Man Tinkle.
Right. Like, that's a few. That was a common theme, and I realized that person was just in a coma.
They were just trying to explain why that person was never waking up again.
And also I realized, like, back then, I guess if you were in a coma, eventually you just starved to death.
Okay, this
is... So that's creepy. Sorry. Anyway.
And M&M's in Sympathy.
Yeah, M&M's in Sympathy. Oh, I didn't mention, I really liked Martin's pink pom-pom hat.
I did too. I own one.
Do you?
Yes, I got it from martincrane.com. I don't know what that website is. I do not recommend going there.
Yeah, who knows what that could be.
We do not endorse that.
No.
Not endorsed.
No. We might endorse Biscoff spread, but we do not endorse
Martin Crane.
And I also love when they ask for where Eddie is. He says he's in the bathroom getting a drink.
Yes.
Good line.
And then he has the little antlers on.
Antlers, yeah.
And then a jingle jingle.
Yes.
Jingle jingle.
Okay. So now M&M's in Sympathy. So...
We're back in the studio.
Yep.
And Ross says, there's a fan in the hall waiting to speak to you.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so Frasier's gonna go give her... she wants to get an autograph.
Right.
And so he signs a thing and goes to bring it to her. And...
Well, guess what?
Dun, dun, dun.
It's Marco's ex-girlfriend!
We don't know what her name is yet!
We don't know what her name is yet.
But it's Marco's ex-girlfriend, yep. And she is mad. She's real mad.
She is mad.
Because of Fraser's advice. Because he ruined her life and made...
She gets really over-emotional, Fraser says.
Yeah.
Which, a therapist would not say that.
Yeah.
You can... Part of therapy is, if you start crying, I mean, they're supposed to help you through emotional things.
Right.
So, right there, he is the worst.
Right. He tells her, don't cry, we're in a place of business.
Yeah, what? I don't know. He's a terrible person.
Yeah.
And
no, I do like when he... Sorry.
I was gonna say, I think it's really interesting that she brings up, you know, oh, did you just give him this advice because of your ratings? Like, to boost the ratings.
Right.
And I have to say, I don't think Fraser would do that. I don't think of Fraser as, like, a smart business person.
Right.
He wouldn't give, because that would go against his ethics.
Right. Plus, I don't know how it would help the ratings. Like... That was
a drama. Hello, well, Jerry Springer.
Sure, here. But I'm saying, this is a live show and a relatively short phone call. Like...
No, I was just saying hello to Jerry Springer. He's in the room.
Oh, hey, Jerry. Thanks for hanging out over there while we finish up this show. We'll get to you in a minute. But I'm saying, like, it's not like anyone new is going to tune in because of this brief phone conversation with Marco.
No, but people listening are going to be like, wow, this is so exciting. And interesting, and I want to tell my friends about it.
I guess, maybe.
That's how it works.
Is that
it's
how
word
it
of
works?
Mouth. If you're enjoying our show, you should tell your friends about us.
You should, yes. And also, tell iTunes how much you like us.
Yes.
In a review, perhaps. Preferably one with many stars.
We will thank you.
We will thank you. But anyway, but yeah, I guess, but like, is that one call where he's telling... Like, someone to break up with her girlfriend?
It's not just one call! He's on the air for 3 hours every day!
No, I'm saying, she acts like that's going to boost the ratings. It's one phone call.
I don't know. I see where she's coming from. I don't think he would give advice based on
the ratings. I agree. That's one thing I don't think he would do.
So to calm her down, well, he eventually says, well, this is what Marco said.
Right.
And she wasn't listening, so she didn't hear that.
Right.
And he offers her some peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
No, offers her some M&Ms. And says, plain or peanut.
Right, yes. So technically,
kinda
offers
true.
Her some
I gotta
peanuts.
Ask, plain or peanut?
Peanut butter.
Well, yes, but that is not one of okay. the choices.
But then, it depends. More often, I think I would go peanut.
I want plain.
Interesting. By the way, when he offers...
We want to hear what you guys tweet us.
Yeah, what do you prefer? Pretzel? If you go pretzel, stop listening.
No,
I'm kidding.
I like
I'm just
pretzel.
I'm
pretzel
kidding.
Is great.
I'm kidding.
It's pretzel. Also not one of the choices, so don't say pretzel.
I know, I'm kidding. I like pretzel too. I just thought it'd be funny to say. But
it's,
did you
it's
know?
Got that sweet and that salty.
It's a good
M&Ms if you're listening.
Yeah. You want to send us a lifetime supply of pretzel M&Ms?
Oh my gosh, with a Biscoff spread?
With this Biscoff,
I think
yeah.
we're just really hungry. We just ate dinner, but somehow we're incredibly hungry
yeah.
for everything.
Yeah. I gotta say, I like when he says the line about don't cry, we're in a place of business. He also... carefully places a folder over the microphone she's standing
oh, yes,
over so
yes.
she doesn't cry into it, like, doesn't
right.
get tears on it. I thought that was an incredibly insensitive, but, like, amusing little touch.
Well, he is insensitive.
He is remarkably insensitive for a therapist.
So, I'd like to say in the scene that Fraser is wearing a vest.
He is.
And he wears vests all the time.
Not the only vest in this episode.
I agreed.
Yeah.
I was going to mention that
yep.
when the time came.
Yes. And yeah, so he gets her some peanut M&Ms. Okay. They have this line where she comments on him liking
yellow
M&Ms.
Ones? Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah, you know, people try to tell you they're the same.
I know.
Well, but they're not, are they?
They're definitely all the same. There's
yeah,
no difference in flavor.
Yeah, but you can have a preference for color. Also, this would have been before they had blue M&Ms.
Yes.
They would have had the tan M&Ms in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this... Yeah, this was... When did the blue ones come about?
Not later, and they're awful. I don't like blue M&Ms.
But the thing is, like, the way he says it, it implies that it's a different... That there's actually a difference.
No, I just think it's just... You have a color preference, and you just want to eat those ones. I definitely... If I dump out a whole bag, there's definitely... I even do that with the Reese's Pieces, mm-hmm. and I separate by color, kind of, and eat, like, all the orange ones first or something. Yeah, I don't know why. I just, like, do that. It's not because I think they taste differently. It's just, I don't know. I just think about it.
It's interesting, because I just grab a handful and just pop whatever goes into my mouth first, like, whichever one.
Just paperclip, cork.
I just grab whatever's on my desk, and if some of them happen to be, like...
Staples. Biscoff spread.
There's just a bunch of that on my desk. Just like...
Well, it helps with the clinging. It's like a katamari of, like, office supplies. Just, like, rolled up. Did you ever make that in school? Like
a katamari?
No.
Of office supplies?
No. I mean, maybe. In Japan, that's what they do.
Oh, yeah.
But I was going to say, at snack time, we made these things with peanut butter and... like, what is it? Dry milk? Do you know what I'm talking about? Powdered milk.
Oh, okay.
And you would,
I still,
like...
I don't know what you're talking about.
You would, like, roll the peanut butter in, like, powdered milk, and, like, you would stick pretzels in it and look like a spider, and you put, like, raisins on it. Okay, I guess only I did this.
You've talked about me in the past. You've talked about that in the past, but I've never done it. I've never heard about it, ever, other than you talking about
it. I don't
it.
Know. It's something teachers do.
Is it?
At my school.
I never had teachers. I didn't...
Well, that you grew up in the woods.
I did grow up in the woods.
And a Sasquatch. Where's your parents? Both. Just one Sasquatch.
One Sasquatch.
I mean, that's who raised you. And, you know, it was limited. You've really learned a lot on your own and about survival. You're kind of like Bear Grylls.
I'm very much Bear Grylls. I would win in a survival fight with Bear Grylls because...
A survival fight.
You know, like the most dangerous game.
Oh, okay.
That kind of thing. Yeah, I would totally win against
Bear Grylls. It's not a fight to the death, it's survival fight.
Well, you know, sort of.
It's more positive if you call it survival fight.
Right.
I would watch that. New show, new podcast, survival fight. Bear Grylls. Bears can't grill. They can't hold a thing.
They can't.
With their paw. I mean, maybe they could do it with their mouth. But then they might hurt themselves.
Yeah, I don't think...
I mean, can they hold the tongs in their mouth and something?
I mean, I guess if you, like, jammed them, like, between their jaws, then when they bit down, it bit... And then they'd have to rotate their entire head around.
But if a bear is listening right now, I will grill for you. Because I understand that you're being inconvenienced.
That is...
And if you'd like to come over for some hot dogs and hamburgers on the 4th of July.
And Biscoff spread and M&Ms.
Yeah, and like spider powdered milk balls.
Any bears that want to come over, I know most of you will be in Provincetown on the 4th of July, but if you'd rather come and grill with us, you can.
All right. Write that on the to-do list.
Yes.
We'll be doing a Christmas card then as well.
We'll be doing a Christmas card in the backyard with all the bears.
Chicago, if you're listening.
Oh, duh, bears.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow, we're still in this section. So they're talking about how it's so hard to date people and how, like, they should just... like, exchange resumes at the dinner table, and it's like, I feel like this is a very, like, grown-up 90s characters talking about
dating. It's very
dated. Yeah, like, today, I don't feel like that's the sort of thing people would talk about for dating, like, because that implies that, like, your career is the most important thing in dating, and I feel like that's not the way.
Yeah,
it works
I feel
today.
Like people. I mean, there are people that are proud of their career, but they don't use that as, oh, I'm all about my career.
Right.
But in the 90s, I think it was very like you had those power suits, and you were all like, "This is me being a powerful like work executive."
Right.
And I think that was your job was very important then.
Right. You're not gonna like. swipe right based on somebody's career on their Tinder profile.
Nice reference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Timely.
Very timely. And I was going to say timeless. Tinder, it will last forever.
In my heart. Look for TJF Arcade on Tinder.
Yes. If you find us, impressive. Because we're not there. Or are we?
We have a profile together.
Yeah.
It's just like... you can assume I look. You can just imagine us looking adorable.
Just close your eyes. Imagine. I know you all definitely know what Diana looks like because this is an entirely audio podcast and we never put pictures of ourselves up. But just imagine what she looks like.
Well, imagine Smurfette.
But only hair. But then again, Smurfette's hair was yellow.
Yes. So, I mean, imagine Smurfette's skin tone, but as hair.
Imagine you skinned Smurfette and used her as hair.
Ew! Stop!
I don't know. You're saying it.
Well, okay. Imagine Mr. Potato.
Mr. Potato.
And with the backpack, and that's Dave.
Mr. Potato?
Head. Mr. Potato Head.
And again, I'm Mr. Potato Head?
Yes.
So I'm Barry from Friends, who apparently looks like Mr. Potato Head.
No.
Well.
No. Okay, you don't look like a Mr. Potato Head at all. Okay. You look like, you kind of look like that one guy in that one band.
I do. I look just like that one guy in that one band. Look him up. I look just like him. Yeah.
Yeah. Accurate.
Yeah. Also, one last thing about this scene.
M&M's in sympathy. Let's just start over.
No, we're not just start over. I think it's really weird how, like, they've barely met. They're having a moment, but then, like, he's got the M&M in his hand, and she, like, eats it out of his hand.
Oh, she was saying, like, she was gonna be, I'm gonna sit here all night. What does he say? Like, oh, what are you going to be doing? Like, sitting alone in your apartment? And she's like, oh, I might just be sitting here eating M&Ms all night. Uh-huh. Like, eats it out of his hand.
Right.
And it's just like, really?
Right. But then...
She is very forward.
Right.
Which I actually really like.
And then I think his reaction is kind of weird because he immediately, like, stuffs all of the M&Ms into his mouth.
Because he's nervous. He's like, humana, or right, whatever.
He's like, want that to not happen? Like, are you rushing to avoid her eating them?
He is socially awkward for a personality, for a radio personality.
I guess. I just thought her doing that was very weird, and I thought his reaction was also very weird.
This show is weird.
This show
is Let's move on.
Moves on. Okay, new chapter.
Kiss Me, Kate!
Yes. I literally just now realized it's called that because her name's Catherine, and it's
right.
Kate. I mean, I know it's a reference to some musical, I think.
Kiss Me, Kate. I didn't know that. I'm pretty sure. Cafe Nervosa!
Yep, we're in Cafe Nervosa.
Our favorite place in the world. My favorite place.
Uh-huh.
I want to live there.
It might be nice to visit just because no one ever pays for drinks.
They do. I've seen it.
It's extremely rare.
I've seen it.
Extremely
so,
rare.
So, then, you know, Catherine and Frasier are sitting together at the table. And then they sort of kiss, and Niles is walking by and sort of has a reaction.
Right, but before that, they're discussing what they're going to do tonight.
Oh, that's right. That's important. Before the kissing.
Before the kissing.
I just like Niles' face.
Yes, Niles does have a pretty great face when that happens. But, so, like, they're talking, they're discussing what they're going to do tonight, because they've apparently been on a few dates already.
Right.
Or at least, like, two or three, something like that. A couple of dates already.
This is going to be the fourth date.
Okay. And they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. And I think it's very interesting. Niles. Frasier suggests possibly going to Le Cigar Volant. Le Cigar Volant.
Callback.
Yeah. Callback to a restaurant you need to get a reservation for a month ahead of time.
You know where they're going to end up.
At the Timbermill. Yeah, exactly. Like, why would he even suggest
Timber!
That?
Timber!
like, he you knows know where he they can't should go. In. where
pizza, should, pizza, pizza.
They should go to pizza, pizza, pizza. But they decide, then they decide that they're just going to dinner. Frasier's going to cook dinner for her at his apartment.
Yes.
Right. Then they get ready to leave. There's much kissing happening right in front of the door of
just
the cafe.
Smooching, licking and just like, yeah. Just like erotic. It's like, you know, after 10 o'clock on Cinemax. It's like, steamy. Woo.
That's exactly it. I've never been more turned on than when watching.
This is too much. I can't even talk about it. It's just too erotic.
And then it gets super cheesy because she says she needs to change before going over, and he's like, "Don't ever change. I like you just the way you are."
And the whole cafe reacts to it.
They all
groan.
Which
means that they probably are all watching Frasier through telescopes from their apartments as well.
I'm so glad everyone groaned because I literally groaned out loud.
I didn't
loud.
Think it was that I was like, bad. Oh. It was kind of sweet. Yeah. It's sweet in a dumb way. It's not like a great compliment to give if you don't know somebody, but like I think if you're just being sweet.
I
whatever. It's not original. It depends who you are.
Yeah.
It depends who you are. I think he was just trying to be sweet.
Of course he was trying to. Anyway, so then Niles walks in and gives.
And I just have wearing vest just underlined. I'm just really into vests, guys.
Who's wearing?
Frasier is wearing a vest.
Oh,
here
in this
too.
Scene. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he's That's wearing a jacket, and then he's wearing like a vest that you would wear with a jacket.
Oh, okay.
And a tie, which I really like. I really like that combo.
Mm-hmm. So it's so it's a 3-piece suit.
It's not a suit though. It's just like I think he's wearing like a sports coat, and he has like a jacket. I mean, a vest that probably matches his pants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's not a 3-piece suit.
Okay. Well, yeah. So then Niles asking about.
I'll dispense with the usual adolescent teasing and come straight to the point. Who was that Babel Rama?
Oh, Niles.
I love it. Niles' voice sounds really weird in this entire episode.
His hair looks really good in this episode.
Didn't notice his hair. Too focused on his voice. But
well, it disappears later on. It's
his
throughout
hair?
The seasons.
Oh. Yeah.
So, you
little
know.
A bit, yeah.
You know. But, yeah. Still very dignified, mm-hmm. even with less hair.
Yeah. But,
yeah, you think he has a little bit of a cold?
I think he probably has a cold or something. It just sounds deeper than usual the entire episode.
I think it's just because it was such an erotic scene. It's just, like, everyone is just, like, pure sex. And it's just, like, deeper voice. Everyone likes a deep voice. Like, Roz. Everyone's just like, hey.
And it lasts for every scene that Niles is in.
That
forever.
Was my sexy deep voice. Hey.
It's very sexy. Almost as sexy as that scene with them kissing.
Hey.
Stop. I can't handle it.
It's
too sexy.
I know. I'm wearing my sexy vest. It has...
I'm gonna have to put my earplugs in deeper.
Okay.
Remember I was wearing earplugs all the time?
I don't remember
ago?
This.
You don't remember? Okay.
I don't.
Anyway.
You might have a pillow fight, though. So Niles asks how they met.
Right. He tells the whole story.
And then he's going like, tisk, tisk, tisk.
Right.
Where are your ethics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rationalization.
It's funny. I don't normally think of callers as patients.
But they would be.
I guess they would be. But like, it's...
In his field.
Yeah. I just don't usually think of them that way, but I agree.
Next scene.
Yep.
He's back.
I don't know how they fit all those A's on the screen.
They did it in two different...
Yeah. So they started before the commercial break.
Yeah.
And then when they came back, there were still more A's
on
the screen. Yeah, right. Okay. It's not as obvious on Netflix. Because they don't have the commercials.
Right, right.
But yeah, lots of A's.
We got Marco in line, too.
Yeah. And Frasier tries very hard not to talk to Marco.
Well, guess who's on line 3? It's Todd.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, we lost Todd. Whoops.
Whoops. What a jerk. Roz is a jerk. And you know what? I have to say, call back to the, for the ratings.
Yeah.
People want to hear about Marco.
Right.
So she hangs up on Todd.
Right. I would say Roz absolutely does
well,
that.
Well, as a producer of the show, I think that actually makes sense.
Sure,
that
yeah.
she would be more concerned about who's going to be the more interesting caller.
Right. I also think there's also just her teasing Frasier.
Right.
But, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, if it is that, it makes sense that she would be doing it for the ratings more than Frasier would
right.
do it for the ratings.
And I really like this scene because they have, you know, he starts talking to Marco and they flash to Niles in the car.
Mm-hmm. Listening.
And Niles, I think we kind of get the idea that Niles is driving to pick Frasier up from work because he's, in the previous scene, says, like, oh, we didn't really talk about it a lot, but there's, he basically gets really mad at Niles for saying, oh, you know, this isn't ethical, blah, 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 you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt this way, I haven't felt this way about a woman in a long time. And he's like, I'm done with you, except can you pick me up tonight?
Right.
So now we got him in the car listening to the show.
Right.
Hearing Marco again.
Right.
Who is driving past Catherine's house because he's super creepy
yeah.
and jealous.
Right. But sees her with someone, some guy in a black BMW, which must have happened a couple of days ago when Frasier still had his car.
That is true.
Because
it's in the shop.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah, what else? Calls and, like, doesn't get her or something. Like, yeah, several things that Marco is realizing she's dating someone
else. And he's upset, and he says, you know, and Frasier sort of says, well, you're being jealous, you did the right thing.
Right.
And he basically, there's this conflict. Is he saying this because it's true advice?
Right. Well, because Marco says he wants to get back with her.
Right.
And Frasier's telling her, telling him, absolutely not,
don't.
I love that he says, like,
borrow a page from my book, move to a new city, a new state, find out why everyone's talking about Pittsburgh.
We all know why people are talking about Pittsburgh.
Why is that?
Penguins.
I thought it was the Pirates. Kidding. No, obviously it's the
Penguins.
Nobody cares about the Pirates.
If Pirates are in your city, you care.
That's a good point.
So I think you take
overrun,
that back.
Pittsburgh is being overrun by pirates. A serious
Penguin pirates. It's crazy. And they're stealing everything.
But adorable. Imagine
well,
little penguin pirates.
It would be cute. Because I would
hats,
just give them stuff. It wouldn't even be stealing.
Tiny peg legs.
Aww.
Adorable.
I can't wait for that documentary to come out.
March of the Pirates.
Great. I hear they already had Johnny Depp on board for that one, so I'm really excited for that. Do you have anything else to say about this?
No, I just, like, except, I mean, obviously this is the moment where it shifts from being completely ethical advice to completely unethical advice.
Yeah.
There is ethical advice he could have given that wouldn't
right.
mean, like, Marco should get back together, but saying absolutely don't, you know,
yeah, he's doing
quit
something
your job
to benefit himself.
Right, that's the moment that it crosses the line.
So, how am I driving? And this one takes place in Niles' car.
Yep, where we learn that Frasier gets physically ill when he does anything approaching unethical, and
right.
Niles gets nosebleeds.
We hear some more, you know, I don't care. You know, this is where he actually talks. I think this is actually the scene where he says, no, I think he does mention that he's head over heels for her, like, in the previous
yeah.
scene. But now he says, like, I'm in love and I don't care.
Right.
And it's a bad place for him. But
right.
he also, like, Niles talks about, Frasier goes, is this a new car?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good kind of, juxtaposition because he says, oh yeah, one of my clients gave me like a good lead on a lease.
Right.
And he asks for a tissue because his nose has started bleeding.
Right.
Because it's not ethical.
Right.
It sounds like it was not, in good faith there. Yeah,
well, because he got, like, some kind of special deal because of one of his patients.
Some insider trading.
Yeah. I don't know if it's...
No, it's not really that. I was just wanting to say Martha's,
well, like,
Martha's name.
Is it unethical for a patient to just... to help you get a deal? I don't know. I think it just depends.
I think we don't really know. It's hinted at. I mean, his nose is bleeding. We have to say it's unethical.
Well, right. I mean, clearly he thinks it's unethical. I just don't know, like...
We don't really know enough details.
Yeah. I just don't know, I guess...
I disagree.
Because he's a psychiatrist? Like, what's the benefit? I don't know if
Fraser's advice was totally unethical either. It sounds like Marco was... crappy anyways.
Again, I would say his initial advice is completely ethical. His initial advice to break up with her is ethical. And he could have given advice a second time, even knowing what he knows and who he's with and whatever, that would have been ethical, but his very adamant, you're not...
Catherine,
like,
was not into him, because even if she was, she wouldn't have been like, oh, well, you're attractive, let's get together. And maybe she's just, you know, annoyed and she's kind of wrapped up. She's trying to, like, kind of move on. Transitional boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what Fraser is, like, this in the moment thing, because she's upset.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Next.
Yep. So we got the next. The obligatory next scene.
You mean the obligatory sex scene?
I do, yes. So we have the date going on at Fraser's apartment. Apparently, he's managed to get everyone to leave.
Kate is wearing a vest!
Yes. Is it leather?
She's wearing a leather skirt.
Yeah, well, I
think
it's a leather vest. And a leather vest, yeah.
Because in the 90s, you definitely... I mean, it was either leather or pleather.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, I think in the 90s, you saw a lot of leather things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited in this section because something really exciting happens in it.
Okay. Which particular thing do you think is...
When they have dinner and she says that, have you ever made love in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
And they start smooching.
Right.
Too hot to handle.
Right.
And they're smooching on the ground and they're rolling around. And then he kind of starts feeling sick, mm-hmm. and they kind of stop.
Makes the weirdest noise I've ever heard somebody pretending to be nauseous make.
But it's kind of great, because it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, but it's the scene's strange anyway and supposed to be, and I like it. But it's funny because he gets sick and sort of pushes her away, and mm-hmm. she sort of, like, is all, like, disheveled.
Right.
And so she gets up, and then they kind of start kissing again, mm-hmm. and they fall into Martin's chair, mm-hmm. which promptly starts vibrating!
I was gonna comment on that, too.
I'm so excited it actually does vibrate, but I feel like it stops working at some point.
Yeah, well, gotta keep an eye out for when they mention the vibration thing, but I wrote that down, too. It was like, his chair... I just wrote, Martin's chair vibrates.
I wrote, chair vibrates, all in capitals.
We're both very excited about that.
They try to kiss on the couch.
Uh-huh.
And he can't do it.
He makes his noise again.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like when Snoopy kisses Lucy.
Right.
And she goes like, Erlac.
Well, it's more like the noise he makes, almost making fun of her. Like, when he does a noise, too. Like, because she gets all, like, gross, but then he goes like, nah. Sort of noise.
She gets a gross noise? Why would she make a gross noise?
She makes a gross noise because she's upset that she got licked by a dog.
That's what I mean, Lucy's noise.
Right, but I'm saying, and then he makes a noise too.
I was confused because I thought you were talking about Catherine making a noise.
No.
I was like, who are you talking about now?
No, I'm saying it's more like Snoopy's noise that he also...
mocking Lucy's noise, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out, Peanuts. Yeah. Hey, look.
Peanuts.
There we go. So he basically says he admits to feeling queasy, mm-hmm. and says, like, you make me sick or something. Yeah.
It's no, she says, does the thought of having sex with me make you sick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's not you, it's me, mm-hmm. and explains that there could be some, you know, breach of, you know, proper etiquette yep. here. And, you know, he wants to, you know, put her on the best engineered chair in the world.
Yep, his Eames Classic.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I looked it up and I was like, yeah, that is definitely what that chair is. It's definitely an Eames Classic.
Of course it is.
Well, because I wasn't sure, I didn't know what that was until I looked it up.
Oh,
I was
like, know.
Oh, yeah, that's that chair. Yep.
Yeah, there it's being the shelter magazines for that.
Shelter magazines?
Yeah, that's, you know, for your shelter, your house.
Oh, is that what the, that yeah, category that's what magazine
yeah,
is
they're
called?
Called shelter magazines.
Interesting, I didn't know that.
Yes. But it's funny, she, Catherine ends up saying, I keep wanting to call her Margot for some reason, probably because the boyfriend's Marco.
Marco and Margot.
But Catherine ends up saying, like, well, it's too bad because you would have had this amazing sex. And, like, she's using all these great descriptions, mm-hmm. like illegal in 48 states sex.
Right.
Like, what is that?
I don't know.
It sounds great. I mean, does it, though? I mean, I guess if he's into it, they're both into it. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So she ends up leaving.
Yep.
And I feel really bad for her, I have to say.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like,
she gets dumped twice, mm-hmm. and she seems like a really good fit for Frasier.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that it sort of ended up this way.
Yeah. I noticed Frasier, his chest is so hairy, he looks like he's got a sweater on underneath his shirt.
Yes,
like,
yes.
When it's unbuttoned. It's
hard
just like,
Sasquatch, oh my gosh. Maybe it was Kelsey Grammer this whole time.
Maybe. I was raised by Kelsey Grammer. Little known fact.
It's this here.
This podcast was destiny.
It was. It really was. So she leaves.
Yep.
And he's sitting in his Eames Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie jumps on his lap or jumps on the, like, footstool.
Yeah, like the ottoman.
Yeah, and he says, like, you know, oh, Eddie, you have it so easy. All you care about is, like, who's going to walk me? Who's going to feed me? I won't know that kind of joy for another 40 years. and then it sort of ends, and then we have, like, the little end scene is all the, like, photo outtakes from the Christmas card.
The little, like, roll of film, basically, that you were talking about earlier. Which, it makes a lot more sense, because it's like, these are all the pictures that they probably would have gotten back.
Right.
On their long roll of film that they had to take.
Yes.
And it's perfect because, so, when the first picture was taken in the first scene, Frasier just sort of, like, rolls his eyes.
Yes.
And I was thinking, well, you can't use that one.
Right, right.
So, but, like, I didn't know that they take more than one. Like,
they have
I thinking,
to take more than one.
Right, of course they'd have to take more than one. But I wasn't thinking about that at the time. I was just thinking, like, well, Frasier just ruined it because he rolled his eyes. But then I like that they show all of these other ones that are also messed up for almost
it's
entirely
funny
because of
Eddie. Because watching it with the idea of, like, digital cameras now,
mm-hmm.
or even, you know, everyone has a camera on their phone now.
Right.
It's just, you look at it through a different lens than originally. There you go. There you go. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sorry.
It's anyway. Ruined. No.
No, no. I wanna
so we look through, like, you look at the show through a different lens because it's just not the same. It's hard to relate to that kind of world.
Right.
Even though I do like, you know, film, you know, film photography, it's just like, it's not what people usually do now.
Right.
It's not the standard anymore. Mm-hmm. So I just think, I don't know.
I also wonder with this, like, all of those pictures, like, a lot of them, it seemed, were messed up because Eddie wasn't in the right place.
Right.
They were trying very hard to get him to stay in the right place. And I remember on that special that we watched, they talked about how hard it is to get that dog to get Moose to, like, do the right thing right. and just be in the right place. Like, he just does his own thing. And it made me wonder how many of those pictures were just legitimately things that got messed up.
I don't think like, so. I think they were just, like, goofing around. Because they're not real pictures anyways.
Well, that's true. But it's just the way... I mean, they're framed right to be actual pictures. So I just think... I wonder if they were supposed to just be sort of joking around and things, and they were, would take pictures and things. Because these clearly aren't, like... posed to be messed up. Like, sometimes you see a poorly done photo in a show, and it's mm-hmm. like they clearly posed in this way. Like, but
no, it looks like they were just goofing around.
Right, because like they're
it looks like it a real photos where they were just goofing around right. to be silly, but yeah.
Right. Because like it blurs, there's motion blur on some of them.
I feel like this cast was just really great. I think yeah. you could just see that they work really well together.
Yep.
I mean, that's the idea I get, that everyone sort of likes working with everyone. There's really a good, like, synergy there.
Yeah.
So I think that really comes through, especially as the show kind of keeps going.
Right. Okay, so any final thoughts on this?
No drinks.
Nope, there were no...
Lots of vests.
Lot of vests. No named drinks. They had some coffees and things, but nothing that was...
No names.
Named.
Who was the caller?
There were two callers. So there was Hank, who couldn't hear himself. And that was voiced by Eddie Van Halen.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. And Marco, it's funny. I couldn't remember the actor's name, but as soon as I heard him talking, I just wrote down, is this the guy from When Harry Met Sally? And it is. It's Bruno Kirby. Who plays Billy Crystal's friend. Like, best friend.
He's also got this really great video game. It's called Kirby. And he just, like, sucks up things.
Yep.
I really am a big fan of the Kirby game. So
Bruno Kirby is known for just sucking things up and stealing their powers.
Yes.
So.
And flying.
Yes.
It's really astounding. Very talented man.
He is extremely talented. Okay, so that's... that's all we've got today, so...
thanks for listening, Biscoff.
Thank you. Yes, thanks to all of our sponsors, future sponsors.
And for I almost said, like, Jerry Seinfeld, but that's not...
Jerry Springer?
Yes.
For joining us?
Yes.
In the corner. Thank you, Jerry, for being polite and waiting until we're done with the podcast. Do you want to give final thoughts, Jerry? No? You don't have anything prepared? Okay. I guess... I don't know. He likes giving final thoughts on stuff.
And we don't have any either.
No. So,
Plain M&Ms.
Peanut M&Ms. Better.
Peanut butter M&Ms better.
Yes. Agreed. Top notch.
I like sriracha M&Ms.
Oh, God. That sounds horrible.
Sriracha pea M&Ms.
Pea M&Ms?
Yeah, like sriracha peas.
Oh, I thought you meant like pee.
No, not like urine. Not like urine at M&M's.
Like sriracha urine. I'm like, what even, ew.
Shout out to those dry milk peanut butter balls with pretzel spiders.
If you want to sponsor us, a lifetime supply of peanut butter powder pretzel spider things.
Shout out to Kindergarten.
Kindergarten, yeah. If you want a sponsor. Sponsored by Kindergarten. This is the concept of Kindergartens. Anyway. So, with that, this has been Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs, and this is TJF Arcade, wishing you all good mental health.
Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs is a production of TGIF Arcade. For more info about the show, find us at Frasier Podcast on Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook. You can also write to us at FrasierPod@gmail.com. Diana is @SweetLime on Twitter, and I'm SlowMotionWalter just about everywhere on the internet. If you like the show and want to help us do more, you could consider making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/TGIF Arcade. Thanks for listening!